Our motto is that we meet our members where they are. I think being bankable is just about beginning to have a conversation with somebody that can bank you. We really just want to kind of reach out to the community and make sure that they know you do have access if you want it.
Hey there, welcome to The Upside. My name is Edmund Marquez. I am your host today. This is basically you and I and a buddy of mine, like we'd have a conversation at lunch. Today I've got a buddy of mine from Southern Arizona Leadership Council. We're both members. I've got Matthew Gasperi. He is the CEO. He's the big dog at Tucson Federal Credit Union. Welcome, Matthew.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I'm excited.
I'm glad you're here. You and I have been in the same room many, many times and haven't got to hang out, so here we are. So right, CEO of Tucson Federal Credit Union. We'll get into the credit union later. I'd like to just to get to know you. So just curious, what high school did you go to?
I went to Amphi High School. Back in the Vern Freely, John Volpe days. He was a year behind me.
Volpe was a year behind
Volpe
you?
Volpe was a year behind me.
He was
me.
A beast. Yeah.
He would, you know, he broke all of my weightlifting records. I'm sure you know him.
I was going to say, my dad, he was squatting like 500 pounds.
He was squatting a house at that point.
Yeah. And if you don't know, this is a great segue. This episode is brought to you by the Heath team at Nova Home Loans, which was partly founded by John Volpe. John Volpe, Amphi Panther, ended up playing for not only Amphi, but Stanford, and then went to the Pittsburgh Steelers, then went to Canadian Ball, and now is part of Nova Home Loans. That's speaking of football, it's also sponsored by your Tucson Sugar Skulls, your professional indoor football team here in Tucson. So Amphi, did you play sports?
No, I was in the music program, and that was about it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. And then what, you went U of A?
Went to U of A, and while I was at the U of A, I was working part-time at TFCU, just started there. And from that, like, experience, so I had no direction in college. Like, I started as a music major, and I realized that was not
going to
work
out.
I was going to be broke. I was going to be a teacher, and I discovered that my kids are great, but not all kids are great. So didn't seem like the right decision. So went into business, and at the same time was working at TFCU part-time, and I liked that. And I liked the credit union component of that, and so just kind of decided to stick around.
Have you been there the whole time?
I've been there for, it'll be 34 years.
Wow.
In April.
Good for you. You started like as a teller?
Yeah, part-time teller.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like the Susan Gray story of TEP. Started as an intern, now she's the CEO.
Congrats thank you.
Congrats on being CEO.
I appreciate that.
That's a big deal.
Going into year five.
And you're year five on CEO. Yep. So what do you do outside of TFCU so we can get to know you? Because I know you as the CEO of Tucson Federal Credit Union. So, but who are you outside of the credit union?
Outside of the credit union, I'm a father. I've got two daughters up in, one is in Scottsdale, one's here, works for Gadabout.
Oh, nice.
I love Frank and Jana, by the way. They're awesome people.
Westerbeek.
Yep. And my youngest is up in Scottsdale. And gosh, what else do I do? I work out. I love to read, play some golf, and try not to stress about work.
Nice. And so I know SALC, we're both on Southern Arizona Leadership Council, which gets you into the seat because it means you care about this community. Right. And that's what we do.
Right on.
I saw and something I read that you had Boys and Girls Clubs in your past.
So I saw that on there. I don't have Boys and Girls Club in my past. Big Brothers and Big Sisters.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Arizona Bowl, still on that board.
And you Blue Blazer?
No, on the board.
Oh,
itself.
You're on the board with Ollie Farhang.
Ollie Farhang,
my partner in the Sugar Skulls.
He got me on there, and gosh, it's year eight or something like that, nine on the board. I love that. I love that board and what they do for the community. So, and also on the board of the El Rio Foundation, part of the El Rio Health Center
for Brenda.
13 years. Brenda's amazing.
Very nice. What other boards prior to that?
Prior to that, I was on the board for EEF, which is the Educational Enrichment Foundation. And that was, I think that was it. I think that was the first board I was on. And then I jumped into a couple that, had more meaning for me. I love EEF, obviously the healthcare system and all of that stuff is a bit of an issue. And so what El Rio is doing is special.
Yeah.
And then when I had a chance to, you know, work with Ollie and the team on that board, that was a no-brainer.
So from the SALC perspective, what are you passionate about in our community?
Passionate about the, roads for sure.
Yeah.
So all the transportation stuff. So obviously,
thank you for the RTA passing.
Yes.
Thank
exactly.
The Lord. Yes.
Exactly. And you know, we had a conversation today about public safety and that kind of thing. And, having lived here most of my life and, watching things change, especially over the last 5 to 7 years, public safety and, you know, trying to get some people off the streets and get them into treatment and that kind of stuff. All of that has become a bigger passion for me as I've seen it, you know, kind of spiral a little bit out of control.
Yeah, amen. So Tucson Federal Credit Union is 87 years old.
It is 89 years old.
89 years old. Okay. There's two typos in your bio.
That's right. She did a great job otherwise.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Other than the two misses, you were great at that bio. That's fantastic. So 89 years old. And so for most people probably watching this little sidebar, credit unions are a little different than banks. And right now banks, I have three different banks in my portfolio and they keep changing names because they keep getting gobbled up and bought and other entities are coming into our community. So I really don't, I have a relationship with the people that are here, but not with the actual bank itself. So credit unions, totally different, local.
Right.
I mean, my family grew up with DM Federal Credit Union, right, which is now Vantage, yeah, West. Vantage West. TFCU, 89 years old. They're nonprofits.
Right.
And so I know the banks get upset because you don't pay. So what a sort of tax don't you pay?
Yeah, we don't pay taxes on revenue.
Period.
Period.
Oh, because you're a nonprofit.
Because we're
a
nonprofit.
Okay. Yeah. So you have an advantage. But what I see, even from, as there's a little another sidebar for you, as an owner of the Tucson Sugar Skulls, the credit unions have been supportive. I would say more so than banks, not to be controversial. I think the bank will argue that, well, gosh, they don't pay tax, so they have more money for marketing. You've had ICCU out of Idaho come in and just spend a lot of money. And gosh, they're showing up on U of A. I went to Sabino High School. I showed up to a game the other day and they bought our scoreboard. Like, what the hell's going on?
Right.
So give me some perspective just from the local credit union and bank perspective in marketing.
Well, so, I mean, you're right. There's a lot of difference. So we are not for profit, but, we also have a mandate to give, you know, most of that profit back to the members.
Oh, I didn't know that. To the members.
And, you know, in the form of better interest rates or keeping up with technology. We've opened two branches. We're opening another one at Midvale and Valencia in June.
Great area.
And, you know, none of that is inexpensive, but that's how we give back to the community. Scale is different, right? We're $1 billion in assets. And the all of the credit unions added up together, and there are 4,300 credit unions. The assets of all of those credit unions don't match the assets of a single B of A, JP Morgan, or Citibank.
Wow.
So there's quite a bit of difference there. Community banks are a little bit different than the national banks, but just to kind of explain the scale component, we have completely different mandates. I think there's room for all of us, actually.
Sure.
And giving back to the members, but you know, the small business lending that we do is on a scale where we can make sure we get capital into the hands of small business owners. Maybe they're startups. Maybe they only need $250,000, and that tends to be a dollar amount that a lot of banks aren't interested in. But that's right in our wheelhouse. The whole idea, especially of us getting back into commercial lending, the whole idea of that was, we don't want to just be another commercial lender. We want to help the small businesses that had trouble accessing capital, and that's kind of been our niche.
So for the business owners out there, for the first time in my life that I can remember, I'm seeing the credit unions get into that commercial space,
right?
Especially in lending for commercial buildings, which I'd never played with. I have commercial real estate. I'd never looked at a credit union.
Yeah.
Full transparency, Vantage West did my last property that I just bought out of Tempe. And it was interesting and weird to go to a credit union for. What's happening there? Are the credit unions getting large enough where they can start handling those size of loans, or what's happening?
Yeah, I think what's happening is that people are just starting to notice. We've been doing business lending for quite a long time. That's another difference between banks and credit unions. We can only lend up to 12.25% of our assets. And so we can only lend so much. While we would like to get that passed to help more people, that's a big difference. But we've been doing commercial lending forever. I think that the difficulty accessing capital, you know, during COVID and that kind of thing, opened people's eyes to the local option. And to your point, I think there's a lot of confusion as to what credit unions do versus banks. And there's really not a lot that we don't do. Commercial lending in particular is something I think that there's a misconception that maybe credit unions don't do or haven't done for very long, but it's just that's a misconception.
Yeah. So let's get deep. And this is where we'd get, if he was having lunch with me. So you just said Midvale, you're going to go into Midvale.
Right.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm Latino. Yeah. So for generations, we have been cash, right? We have not banked traditionally, right. Generationally, we have not banked. So I know there's a probably a percentage of the population that's unbanked, and you're probably going into a good portion of that, into that Midvale area.
Right.
What's your goal for outreach? How do you change the perceptions of people, and let's call it Latinos, generationally, as you then present them to a bank? Is it, will they automatically be forced there because you tap your phone on something and you now have to pay, you know, with tapping your phone or tapping your credit card? Will that automatically take us into being bankable, or how does that play out?
No, I think being bankable is just about beginning to have a conversation with somebody that can bank you. You know, I think there have been trust issues over the years with certain populations and financial institutions. And, but that's kind of where we, do have an advantage. I think we're built on trust. But the entire city of Tucson, has areas that are underserved and unbanked. And I think maybe it used to be more regional a decade ago or so, but there's an awful lot of that spread throughout Tucson. We have our strategic initiative is to open 3 branches in unbanked, underserved areas. And we do that based on zip code demographics. But if we look at the entire city of Tucson, really we could put a branch almost anywhere and fit that definition. So I don't know if that makes sense, but really the entire city has kind of a concern about some unbanked, underserved population that doesn't have access to the debit card and to those types of things. So having the conversation and kind of understanding how this works, and that getting banked gets you into a system where you have a different way that you can kind of live your life.
Sure.
Whether it's debit card, whether it's, you know, beginning to look at lending, whether it's just learning how to budget, you know, learning learning about credit. All of those things, it's an education process. So that's kind of how we're addressing that. We expect a little bit of a heavier cash, scenario down there, but, we'll see. I don't know if that'll be true. That's kind of what we're expecting based on what you're talking about. But we're going in with, the idea that a lot of it will be heavy education initially, just getting people familiar with the banking system. And, if that leads to opening an account, that's what we would love. But I mean, we really just want to kind of reach out to the community and make sure that they know you do have access if you want it. Come to us, we would love that, but you do have access. And so reach out and make sure that you enter a system that really does kind of open up the world for you.
So pragmatically, and pretend nobody else is watching, it's just you and me, because there's a little bit of a interesting question. So my take is, I find it very interesting because you guys are almost swimming upstream. You're swimming in the opposite direction of everybody else. Because if you think about what's happening with banks, it's mostly going online. I mean, there's less people going to the actual branch, and you're literally creating more branches.
Right.
I think when most people are consolidating or having less branch because of the overhead with people, et cetera.
Right.
I look at life through a lens with my Allstate insurance agency. Allstate, about maybe 2 years ago, said no more cash. Nobody can come in and make a cash payment anymore. Just there was a liability as we're holding on to cash, sure. And then we have to go take it to the bank, et cetera. Right. And they moved everything to, we basically use an app and we deposit the few checks that people drop off. So I find that interesting. But then when you say you're going to go educate an area, which I think that's fantastic. It's awesome. I think more people need it. As you go educate an area, if you look at what's happening with the new Apple iOS, I don't know if you guys have run into this yet, even from us as an Allstate agency, the new Apple iOS, if a phone doesn't recognize a number, it automatically says, please tell this person why you're calling, and maybe they'll answer it. And so we're finding the amount of people we're actually getting on the phone has decreased dramatically. So how do you go educate someone? You have to literally say, come into my branch. How are you going to educate, let's just say, the Midvale area?
Yeah, I mean, there certainly will be a lot of digital outreach. Almost everybody has a phone. Digital marketing. Okay. Folks that are unbanked and underserved almost always have a phone. That may be a little bit of an overstatement, but I think that has become a priority for everybody. So that still is a channel. But, I mean, you're right in that we're swimming upstream from the perspective of opening up new locations, but that's our motto is that we meet our members where they are. And what that means is that in whatever touch point that they need at that given time, we want to be able to handle that in a bulletproof fashion. And that includes having branches in areas, you know, where it's convenient for people to get to. That location in particular, was important for us because if it's, if mobility is an issue, you know, we don't want to have a branch 10 miles away that's difficult to get to. We want to kind of try and drop ourselves into your neighborhood and become part of the fabric of that neighborhood. So while a lot of things are moving digital and in that direction, and we certainly are doing that as well, it's just not all that we're doing. We're going to continue to invest in locations and make sure that we have a broad footprint in the Pima County area so that we can meet the motto that we, you know, that we talk about. If we say we'll meet you where you are and the closest branch we have is 25 miles away and that's the way you want to do business, and we're not really living up to that.
Yeah. I had a bank like 3 years ago tell me, we really don't care about deposits. We really don't care about your deposits. So consequently, me and the two buddies that were at lunch with the bank pulled our deposits from that bank. But what the banker's point was, we no longer have to go beg and plead for somebody to bring their deposits to us. We can literally go to a broker, and the broker can lend us money at an interest rate less than we'd have to pay you. Has that flipped, or where are you guys at with deposits?
Well, we almost always are looking for deposits. Another thing that's different for credit unions is that, you know, what we lend out are the deposits that we take in.
Sure.
So we can't take in, you know, we can't raise capital. We can't do any of those types of things.
Oh, you're not allowed to raise capital?
No.
Oh, that's interesting.
So so we are dependent, if you will, on the amount of deposits that we have in, and that dictates what we're able to lend out to the community. So there's never a time that I would say we don't need your deposits. There's always something we can do with them. If we can't lend them out, then we'll invest them, because our primary goal is to, you know, ensure that the member service is excellent and that what the members need from us that we've got. And so all of those things need to work for us in one way or the other. We're not for profit, so we do make a profit, but the majority of that goes back to the members. So we need to maximize the assets that we have, but, we never want liquidity to be an issue. We never want to have a situation where we can't do a loan for a member because we're not liquid enough. Never had that situation. Don't anticipate that. But so that stream coming in so that we can lend it out, it's critical for us.
So I said at the beginning of this, my banks keep changing names.
Right.
I mean, look what the Bank of Tucson went to, like, I don't even remember the names, like Grandview. Then it went to Pacific Premier. Right. Now it's Columbia. Like, that was our Bank of Tucson, literally. Yeah. Just like you have right. our city name in your title.
Right.
What's happening growth via acquisition wise with credit unions? Cause I believe Vantage West bought up a bunch. Is that part of your plan?
Yeah. So not part of our plan. At least not now. We have 5.3% market share, in Pima County. So we've got an awful lot that we can do here.
That's actually good.
It's not too bad, but like when you think about, what that opportunity is for us just in Pima County. I understand why there would be, merger acquisition activity. And there has been, you mentioned, ICCU, and that's how
who'd they buy?
They bought, Tucson Old Pueblo.
Oh, they bought Tucson Old Pueblo.
Yeah.
Isn't that where Ken Kraft went? Did you go there?
I believe so.
Oh man. Yeah. Sorry, Ken.
Yeah,
man. ICCU.
And so that was that's their foothold into the community. That's kind of a different conversation that would be interesting to have too. So there's M&A activity out there in credit union land for sure. But we are more interested in making sure that we serve Pima County first before we start looking outside. Within the credit union movement, there are some very large credit unions that continue to get larger and maybe move into an area where they don't really have a history, and you can question maybe what the value add is for that.
Is ICCU an 800-pound gorilla? I mean, are they huge?
Yeah, they're huge.
Oh, they're huge?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I think $14-15 billion.
Oh, damn. Okay.
And so I won't ever down talk anybody, but that does fracture the market a little bit.
Right.
And while I'm sure they're well intended, the investment in Pima County, which has been over, you know, just a year now, certainly not deep set, you know, and what does that really look like for them long term? But that's not unusual for larger credit unions to kind of look for ways to expand. I don't myself, believe in that. I think the whole credit union movement is designed to be local and designed to help certain groups of people that started it. But I would never down talk a credit union that has that mission. And Vantage West did do some acquisition over time as well.
And they grew into Phoenix.
And I know Sandra really well.
She's great.
She's wonderful.
She's great.
She's an amazing person. Yep. So the local credit unions, the credit unions that are headquartered in Pima County, are all wonderful. And actually, the CEOs, we have lunch every quarter and collaborate and talk and those types of things. Which, again, kind of highlighting differences between banks and credit unions. That's something very different for credit unions. The way that we collaborate, we're one big movement. And then I mentioned 4,300 credit unions. So we're 4,300 individuals within this one larger movement, which is a financial cooperative at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, you put in money, we lend out your money to other people and vice versa. And every member has a vote, and the board of directors are members and, represent the entire membership. So it is very local. Again, it's very cooperative, and the way that we work in that space is partly why the importance of the tax exemption, why it is so important,
yeah.
Why it remains critical. And for larger credit unions, the criticality might be different, but there are credit unions that are $65 million and even smaller, but they have a purpose out there.
Yeah.
And for them to lose a tax exemption would be fatal.
I appreciate that you all are local. I appreciate that you continue to invest in our community. Mm-hmm. That's big. Tucson, we need all the help that we can get.
We do.
So thank you very much for being here.
You're welcome.
I really enjoyed the conversation. Finally, didn't take an SALC breakfast. It took a podcast
for
you and I to finally sit down.
But that's all it took.
Thank you for all you do. I think Shema at Tucson Federal Credit Union did a great job for you guys on the commercial side. So this has been The Upside. Thank you very much for joining us. This is Matthew Gaspari, the CEO of Tucson Federal Credit Union. My name is Edmund Marquez. Again, thank you to the Heath team at Nova Home Loans. Call Tom. He's a fantastic human being. And thank you, and please support your Tucson Sugar Skulls. Take care.